Right, take your Bible this morning, turn with me to the book of Matthew, chapter number 23, please. Matthew, chapter number 23. Brother Clay, thank you so much, buddy. It was wonderful, wonderful. And I appreciate what you preached this morning. Thank God. You bear with me a little bit. Sinuses will get going here in a second. But I just want to thank God for the privilege of being able to be with you this morning. And one of my favorite people in this world is Brother David Shelton. I love him. Appreciate his family. Brother David, I am a little concerned, though. I walked in the building. Your daughter is about the second person that met me. And here's a statement she made to me. Preacher, there's somebody I want you to meet. I knew what that meant. And I thought, Lord, have mercy. Amen. And I tell you what, I'm getting a little tired of all these boys stealing my girls from my church. Amen. I told some of you girls, y'all got to find some boys to come here. But I'm telling you, boy, that's not fair. They all sing, talented. Bunch of jerks come and get them. You know I'm right. You know I'm right. I'm saying what you want to say. Amen. It's a joy to be here. Thank you so much. I won't be long this morning, but I do appreciate the opportunity. And it's been an extremely busy week for us. I was wanting to get down this week. We did not plan on having a meeting at our church this week, but God just began to do some things Sunday. It's been going about 3 months and simmering. And so I knew Sunday I had to continue. And folks brought family in left and right, need to be saved this week, and seen God do some things. And I knew Brother David understand that. And then I've got a lady in intensive care. I got a young man this morning having a 6-hour surgery on his back, broke his back in a motocross accident. We're going to head to Hickory when we leave here. And so it's been a busy week, but I've been looking in some. I thank God. You know, I'm not always up and down and jumping up and down about internet and social media and all that, but I'm glad we can look in and see things and watch services. And boy, I enjoyed some of the good preaching. I've got to see excerpts of it this week, and I thank the Lord for it, and I appreciate so much the opportunity to be here. And again, Brother Clay, thank you so much, and I mean that. I I've known you for a long time, and just to see you stand there and preach like you did this morning, married to that sweet little girl right there and your family, you know how much I love you. And I appreciate you and thank you so much for the message today. Brother David mentioned to me, and I don't know what it is. I would think the older I get, the youth meetings would stop. But this year, I think they're double than they were last year. And I just think that though I may be getting older in body, I just won't ever grow up. And so maybe that's the deal. Brother Clay made a statement a while ago. He said, patience is a sign of maturity. I told my wife, I said, man, I'm in trouble. Amen. All right. Brother Tim told me how to work this thing, but he said, do not leave with the, we want the, what'd you call it? The clip back.
Yeah, he took it home last time. He will still, you got to watch it.
It's getting rougher by the minute, buddy. I do want to say to you before I start a couple things. Brother Keith Allison's here somewhere. Brother Keith, where are you at? He's over here. Brother Keith's going to be doing a prophecy conference for us at Calvary the 26th through the 28th of February. Now, the 26th is a Sunday night. Obviously, you won't be able to be there. But on Monday and Tuesday, first time we've ever done a prophecy conference, and I think you realize the day we're living in today, it's good to know where we're at in Bible prophecy. So Brother Keith Allison does a great job with that. He'll be doing that for us. We'd love to have you come down and be with us on the 26th through 28th, at least the 27th, 28th. And then also, our Jubilee this year is going to be the second full week of April. That's the 10th through the 14th. You can go to the website. You can follow some things there. And God's really doing a great work in our church among young people. I'm expecting any moment for it just to completely go out of the banks. If you hear about a tent going up in our area, don't be surprised. We're praying that God's going to raise a generation that believes in old-time power, that believes in old-time religion, and that is going to reach this world that we're in today. But anyway, you help us pray. I'll get into preaching, and I hope Brother McBride's going to preach, right? I need some preaching, amen? And I know my wife does. Good to have her with us today. Matthew 23, verse 13, Bible says, "But woe unto you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites, for you shut up the kingdom of heaven against men, for you neither go in yourselves, neither suffer ye them that are entering to go in. Woe unto you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites, for you devour widows' houses, and for a pretense make long prayer. Therefore ye shall receive the greater damnation." I don't know why in the world they had a problem with Jesus preaching. You know, this sissy crowd today, that they get so nervous somebody's going to preach on something. And I, you know what I mean. I'm talking about Bible. I'm not talking about junk. How in the world, when you read what Jesus, you know, you're the religious people that day, and he looks at you and calls you a hypocrite. They'd have to have a march over that or something. Behave. "But woe unto you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites, for you compass sea and land to make one proselyte, and when he is made, you make him twofold more the child of hell than yourselves. Woe unto you, you blind guides, which say, whosoever shall swear by the temple, it is nothing, but whosoever shall swear by the gold of the temple, he is a debtor. Ye fools and blind, for whether is greater, the gold or the temple that sanctifieth the gold?" Look a little farther in the chapter for the sake of time. Verse number 23. "Woe unto you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites, for you pay tithe of mint and anise and cumin, and have omitted the weightier matters of the law, judgment, mercy, and faith. These ought you to have done, and not to leave the other undone. You blind guides would strain at a gnat and swallow a camel. Woe unto you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites, for you make clean the outside of the cup and the platter, but within they are full of extortion and excess. Thou blind Pharisee, cleanse first that was within the cup and platter, then the outside of them may be clean also." Brother David told me about the theme, the thought of this morning. If you know my ministry, you know my heart for this generation that sung today and others that are here, for parents and families. I want to preach this morning on this thought, and God had it on my heart a few weeks ago. Actually, I pinned it down for the first time in my ministry. I hadn't preached it out anywhere, just first time I preached it to my young people. I want to preach this morning on it's time to get real. Amen. It's time to get real. And by the way, that doesn't just apply to young people. That applies to mom and daddy. That applies to youth leaders, pastors, leadership in churches. It's time to get real. Amen. Let's pray. Our Father, I want to thank you this morning, God, for the word of God that Brother Clay preached to us. Thank you for the man of God. Thank you for what you're doing in his life and his church at Brooklyn. I pray you'll bless him dearly. Lord, I thank you for the men of God that are here, and many that have preached, and others that came just to get something in their cup, Lord, as they go back to their churches and proclaim the gospel. Lord, I thank you today for Pastor Shelton and Brother Tim and all those on staff that work here that make this church what it is, and for this Jubilee that I consider, Lord, to be one of the best oases in America. Lord, I thank you for this great ministry. Lord, I thank you today for the Word of God. I thank you for the Christian Academy, Lord, that sung to us. I thank you, Lord, for the young people, moms and dads and families that are here today. And Lord, we're certainly thankful for the direction possibly we see America beginning to go. Lord, I do pray now that God, you'd have your way today. We ask all these things in Christ's name, and all God's people said, amen. You can be seated. When the Lord really spoke to me about this message, he spoke to me about the message one day when I was sitting watching the news. And that day I was watching the news, I was watching the hearings in the Senate as they were talking to those that were going to be taking leadership positions on the cabinet of our president. And I was watching them ask questions, and finally, I'll be honest with you, I just couldn't take it anymore. And I looked at the TV like they could hear me, and I said, "You bunch of stinking hypocrites. You are drilling them like they are so bad in all they do. But the truth is, you know yourself. You're not even what you are to be. And realize today, we're just looking at a day of hypocrisy in our land." No doubt today we are. I'm not going to get into that, because if I did, I'd get way off. Since Obama's out of office, I'm trying to find some more material to preach. What scares me, I know, preach the Bible, I know, bless your heart. What scares me is that the hypocrisy in that Senate was bad, and the hypocrisy in our world is bad, but I'm so afraid that the hypocrisy in our churches is just as bad. Stay with me a moment. I'm definitely not preaching Jubilee, but I am at Jubilee. But the pastor told me what he wanted me to preach. He even sent the outline. He even got me the prayer to read when I'm done. Gave me a nice clip to go with it. I want to say today, when you think about, and I don't want you to get bent out of shape over me with this, but what scares me, I am a fundamental Bible-believing Baptist. Over 30-some years, I've been preaching a King James Bible, standing for what's right. I'm not planning on changing that. I don't want to change that. But friend, we have some problems. And the problem a lot of times is hypocrisy. Now I'll say this to you today. I believe that we are creating clones that know how to tote their Bible. They know how to comb their hair. They know what to say around the right people. On the outside, we look as sharp and as polished than we ever have in our life. But I'm afraid that on the inside, something is missing in our lives. One of the things that I love about young people, and there are many, I really have a heart. I really enjoy preaching to young people. One of the things I really love about young people is most of the time you can get them to get real. Now, you got to get them away from certain things to do it. You got to detox them a little bit. Most adults, we're good at just making everybody think what we are is what we are. It's not good English, but it'll work. But most time, young people eventually will just, they'll come clean and talk to you. I have an open door policy in my office, in my church. I tell all of my teenagers, sometimes 16, 70 teenagers, and here's what I tell them. I tell them that door's always open before your life goes wrong. If you've got to come to me and tell me you have messed up, I'm not going to boot you out that door. I'm not going to look at you and throw you away, because God doesn't throw the clay away. But I'm going to love you and help you. But you've got to be real. Here in the Word of God, the biggest problem that Jesus had with the scribes and Pharisees was simply he knew they weren't real. He knew they were hypocrites. He knew that they were not real. And friend, we are living in a day today where simply Phariseeism is so involved even in our own churches. I know where I'm at. I've been doing this a long time. I know the restrictions of what I say, and I'm certainly not in a pulpit in any church in America to have an agenda. So you don't even have to get nervous. I would never do anything to hurt this man. so you don't have to get nervous. But I am going to mention some words that people kind of go, oh, Lord. I want to preach, and young people, you listen to me. Because at the end of this message, I'm going to give you a challenge. A challenge that I give teenagers across this country. And I want you to listen to what I'm saying in this challenge. I want you to see a few things here for those of you that like to have the outline. I want to give you this outline a little bit here in this passage. I want you to see, first of all, as you look in chapter 23, at the chains of a Pharisee. The chains of a Pharisee. Look in chapter 23, verse number 4. The Bible says, for they bind heavy burdens and grievous to be borne, and lay them on men's shoulders, but they themselves will not move them with one of their fingers. In other words, in this verse, you see the chains of the Pharisee. The Pharisee said, here's the way I want you to live. This is the way I want you to look. This is what I want you to do. This is what I want you to be. And they are so bound by those chains of the Pharisee that they don't even have any joy living for God. Now I'll say this to you today. I feel a little help from glory. I've been praying that God would help us today. Don't you listen? I understand, and here's that word, and that's going to get real quiet, that we got to have standards. You got to have them. You don't work at McDonald's and wear a Hardee's uniform. You've got to have standards. You've got to look right. We have a length of a skirt for ladies that sing in our choir. We have standards for members that join. As they join, we give them a packet and say, as a member, here's what we expect. We do things like that because somewhere you've got to have standards in your life where you say, you know what? We have to live right. But here's the deal. What we've done in our day is we've got to the place where we're making people live right. Not the Holy Ghost is making them live right. Not that somebody else is making them live right. But we've got to the place where we're no better than the Pharisees. For we say, you're going to do this. And then as soon as our kids get old enough, they're ready to get out of it. Because all they are is what they are on the outside. But God's never done anything on the inside. Now, I'm going to say something to you. They're leaving fundamental churches by the droves. Oh, I meet them everywhere. Huh? I mean, they'll walk up to you and ask stupid questions like, are you packing? Meaning, do I have gospel tracts? Then I'll open my coat and say, yeah, Smith and Wesson. We got young people that come, they know what to say. They know what to do. They know how to delete. They know the private accounts that mom and daddy are too dumb to get to. Other words, what I'm saying is we're raising, I'm not talking about in the liberal church down the road, everybody says, I wouldn't go there. I don't like that music. I ain't interested in all that smoke. I'm not interested in all that. But friend, we come inside, look right, sing the right songs, but for some reason, people are dwindling out and walking away, and I'm convinced it's because of the chains of Phariseeism. These Pharisees forced their convictions on others, but they were counterfeit themselves. Jesus said in this chapter, you blind guides would strain at a gnat and swallow a camel. Now here's where I have to be careful. In my church, I wasn't careful at all. But here's where I have to be careful because I'm not in my pulpit. But I want to say something to you. I want you to understand this. We better get back to majoring on the majors. Amen. Now, don't leave today and say, Brother Haslam's a compromiser. I don't know in 30-some years I've changed. But I'm going to tell you this. If we're not careful, we are so picky about little things in our kids' lives, and you need to know what they're doing. But we are so picky that we are just choking them to death because they can't live for God on their own. The change of a Pharisee.
Yeah.
Number two, the clothing of a Pharisee.
Yes, sir.
Look in your Bible at verse 46. The Bible says, "Beware of scribes which desire to walk in long robes and love greetings in the markets and the highest seats in the synagogues and the chief rooms at feasts." Verse number five of Matthew, that was Luke 20. Verse number 5 of Matthew 23, "But all their works they do for to be seen of men. For make broad their philanthropies and enlarge the borders of their garments." Listen, I want to give you the greatest definition that I've ever heard of a hypocrite. This is it. A hypocrite is not interested in what God thinks of them, only what man thinks of them. What do I mean by the clothing of a hypocrite? I'm not talking about a garment. I'm not talking about pants or short dress or this, that, or that's not what I'm talking about. I'm talking about the outside, what people see. Friend, we ought to be clothed in the righteousness of Christ. We ought to have something different about us that we don't take on and put off and take on and put off in order to cover our lives. The clothing of the hypocrite. We cover up the outside to make everything look good. Now, I don't know how you guys are as a pastor, but I'm going to tell you, every time I think I've been shocked, I get shocked. And most times, you know, the ones that get shocked is the one that look like they're clothed right. Now, what I mean by that is, outwardly, you would think, oh, they're Christian. They love Jesus.
Yes, sir.
On the outside, they go to Christian school or they go to public school and they're a great testimony for God or they do this or the other. And on the outside, there's that clothing and they look like they're all right. But inside, man, something's wrong. Something's missing. And I'm convinced that they've been so chained and so clothed by Phariseeism that we are raising a generation of fundamental clones. And when the fire gets to them, and when the pressure gets on them, and when they get away from that Bible preacher, or they get away from your home, they don't live like you think they live. They don't do like, and it's not the fact that they don't care. It's just they don't have on the inside what they ought to have.
Amen. You're right.
The clothing of the Pharisee. I go in so many churches and preach, and people try to impress you. You know, they say God a certain way, or they look a certain way, or, you know, I mean, they just, the older you get, the more you realize how dumb I was when I was young. But it's amazing to me how we are so engrossed with not, are you listening, with not pleasing God, but people. You know, it was a happy day when I got on a motocross bike. Because you know why it was a happy day? Well, except the day I crashed and was in a wheelchair a year. But do you know why it was a happy day? Because any time I don't want to be around any of it and hear it, I don't care who likes it or not, I'm going to ride.
Hey.
I told the deacons when I took my church 15 years ago, I said, I ride motorcycles. I ride wheelies. I break bones. And I said, if that's not the kind of pastor you want, wrong guy. Because sometimes y'all going to get on my nerves and I got to go jump something. Can I get a witness?
Amen.
Every now and then I got to turn the throttle on that 450 and say, hallelujah, Jesus, here I come. And that day I crashed, I sung another gospel song, "Near My God to Thee." That's good enough preaching to get you a clip. Can't believe you married that jerk up there talking about that clip. Young people, listen to me. Your life should not, and listen, you know how Christian school is, you know what I mean? We had a Christian school in my first church. God hasn't done that the second one. I'm proud of him. But we had one at the first one. They're wonderful, but hallelujah. If you ever find a preacher you don't love, pray God to give him a Christian school. It'll help him. But I love you, preacher. I really do. All right. And I'm so glad God's using you. I'm so excited for you. Bless your heart for doing the work of God. I'm alive. Got that from Donald. Young people, listen to me. And I really want to say young people, because I think as adults, we know this. Quit trying to please everybody. And just love Jesus. I mean, seriously, man, inside, fall in love with him. You know why when you fall in love and you get where you think you're going to marry this person and you're just so in love? You know why you start brushing your teeth and combing your hair and you take a shower at least once a day and you know why you start doing different? It's because what's in you drives what's outside of you.
Amen.
And can I say something to you? The change of Phariseeism is killing us. I'm not talking about drop a standard, friend. I'm not talking about not be what we ought to be. We all understand that. Pastors have to set guidelines. We have to do things right. I mean, we've got to make sure the cause of Christ is represented. Brother Montgomery, what's going to happen when they walk away from us? And outside they look okay. But inside there's nothing. I want you to see, first of all, you see here the chains of the Pharisee. Second of all, the clothing of the Pharisee. Dr. Kuykendall, I gave them this outline Star of the Week, and I said, if you preach it, buddy, I'm coming to Georgia and find your little skinny self. Don't you preach this outline. I don't see it because I don't have much. I want you to see this. Verse 13, the casualty of the Pharisee. Matthew 23:13, the Bible says, but woe unto you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites, for you shut up the kingdom of heaven against men.
Yes, sir.
For you neither go in yourselves, neither suffer ye them that are entering to go in. Nobody's going to get in. You're not real on the inside. You're not going to get in. They're going to realize what you are, and then they're not going to get in. And before we know it, we're going to have people going to hell because we're straining over gnats, and we're not living right, and we're not doing right because it never happened on the inside. When I was preaching at Gateway Young People last year and some other churches in the youth camp, and fortunately, I'm glad I get to be there again this year, but when I was preaching that, y'all remember what I told you? Some of you remember what I told you? I said, now when we leave, this ain't about what's outside. I said, if it's real, it'll be in you.
That's right.
But I'll tell you something. When I got saved, God put something on me Ajax could get off.
That's right.
I mean, I'll be honest with you. Hallelujah. I like it. I mean, man, do any of y'all remember when that Holy Ghost got in you and so stirred you and put a love for Christ and a desire to live right? Thank God. I'm glad I may not be everything I should be, but God's working from the inside out. What is the casualty of the Pharisee? Well, I said to my young people, don't be a preventer. What is a preventer? Is those that prevent others from getting saved. Jesus said in verse 25 of the chapter we're in, woe unto you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites, for you make clean the outside of the cup and of the platter, but within they are full of extortion and excess. He said, cleanse first that which is within the cup and platter, that the outside of them may be clean also. Do you know the best way to realize what counterfeit is? Study the original. Get around a Milton Taylor. Hang out there a while. Get around men of God or young people that have sold out to God, lock, stock, and barrel, and watch their lives. They don't change by which way the wind's blowing. See, it's time in our fundamental churches to get real. Just get real, man. Just be real. God's been so good. Anybody here tonight this morning can say God's been good to you. How about the rest of you? Has he been sort of good? I mean, has God been good to you? I was thinking all night, pastor, my church. Man, I love my church. I love preaching in that pulpit. I love them people. I just love being there. I love it. And I tell them I love it so they'll keep me. I love it. But I was thinking the other day, I want folks to just know, and sometimes you can get in trouble, but I just want people to know that it's just real. I don't care about a pretense. I'll be honest with you. I got over years ago worrying about. I would have no more hair than you do, my friend, if all I did. And you look good with it. By the way, you look good with it. But me, you know, I got knots on my head and stuff. And I want you to understand this. I would lose every bit of my hair, or it'd all fall out if I always lived my life caring about what other people think all the time. Can I say something to you, young people? Listen to me. And I know. You know, this is what I say. Some old guy. Listen, I deal with y'all's age more than I deal with them older folk. Yes. Let me tell you something. Some of you will live your life every day, and all you're trying to do is please somebody else. Make what they think of you, that peer pressure, that I want them to like me. But the deal is, you never on the inside really think, man alive, what does Jesus think of me? Right? What does God think of me? I want my friends to like me. I want to be in the in group. Well, we all like that. Don't even let adults tell you that they don't want people to like them, because they do. We deal with peer pressure too. Preachers deal with peer pressure. You know? There's somebody sitting in this auditorium right now. I don't know why in the world David got him to preach. Lord, I preach circles around that. We deal with peer pressure all the time. I kiss myself when I'm in a big room of preachers. I even say things different, like God and all that. I'm like, where did that come from? I'm usually like, hi, y'all. But I walk in there, I get all stiff. Well, God's good. My wife look at me, that ain't you.
That's right.
Yeah, I know, baby, but they watching.
Yeah.
Real.
I'm hurrying. He told me 15 minutes, I done went over. It's time to just get real.
Amen.
What's the casualty of Pharisee is while we're playing games on the outside, we are causing other people to die and go to hell.
Amen.
I want to show you an illustration God gave me, and I hope it'll help you. Can I use some of you guys from Gateway, since you already know me, we've been through some rough times together. Can I use some of you? Because I'm going to need you to do something for me. Can you guys help me right here? Can you help me right here? And I want you to do me a favor. And I know sometimes it takes you all a while to grasp stuff, so I'm going to try to explain it slow. Your head will be on this end, your feet will be on that, your head will be on that end, your feet will be on this end, and I just want you to lay down right there. Just right on the floor, just lay down. Perfect. Can you come here? Do you think at all you could mimic that? Lay down right there. Let me see how well you do. Praise God, man. That's wonderful. Guess what, buddy? Same thing. But a little farther over here. Come here. Right here. Now, I'm going to stretch something to the T. Brother Tim, come here a minute. I knew this was coming. Brother Tim, won't you stand right here? And guess what? You for just a minute, you're going to be Jesus. Now you talking about stretching something?
All right.
Right? I mean, you talking about the cup and platter, man. Amen. Put your feet together, son. There you go. You're not being arrested. I know that was last Saturday night. You're kind of used to this, you know. Wonder why I preach to young people. Y'all have any idea? All right, all you little smiley girls over here. Let me pick one. You. Come here, man. Hurry up. Brother McBride's going to give him some Bible in a minute after I quit fooling around. Man, that's colorful. I need a tie like that. Now, don't you watch this. Here's a problem. What's your name?
Maddie.
We met, hadn't we? Where did I know you from?
Ball camp.
Camp? Mm-hmm. Is it weird that everybody's watching me and you talk? I mean, like, I mean, there's 6,000 people looking right at us right now. Not to count the millions watching by internet. It's embarrassing. I mean, it really is. It's bothering me. How about you? Don't you watch? Let's say Maddie's a young lady that needs Christ. But the problem is, he's right there, and they're right here. And here's Maddie's problem. No high heels, too bad? Okay, we're going to step over them, okay? No matter what they've done to you in your life, step over them, all right? They're in your youth group, right? Step over them. I know the Tennessees want to kick them right in the head, but step over them. Here's Maddie's problem. Why don't you get your foot right there? Now put the other foot over, but keep that foot right there. If you didn't pick up your foot, what's going to happen? You're going to trip, aren't you? See, she's trying to get to him. But she can't get to him because she keeps tripping over him. So then she gets over him, and lo and behold, same deal. You got it now? I know you're blonde. Put your foot there. Step over. You love me, though, don't you? Tell him. Don't you love me? Tell him you love me. Say, I love Brother Chris. Tell him. What? Same thing. She got a little closer. She finally got by Bozo over here. You know, that kid in the youth group that really wasn't what everybody thought he was. He just looked like it. Now he gets to another one. She still can't get there. She still can't get there. Finally, she gets by. Come on. And she steps. Let's go and step over. But don't watch this. The whole time she was stepping over, I want you, Brother Tim, to go down and hide behind that wall. Just duck down behind the wall right there. I'm going to show you what happened. While she was trying to get to him, he came. And she would have got to him before he came. But he's gone because she spent all her life trying to get over people.
Yes, sir. Oh, yes.
So now here's Maddie, sweet little girl standing here. And thinking, I could have got to him. But I kept tripping. You guys can get up. Thank you, sweetie. Thank you for being a good sport. I love you, darling. Thank you for being sweet. Thank you. Brother Tim, thank you, sir. I want to close with this on everybody listening. Preacher, I love this. This is my element. Thank you for letting me do this. You know I'm not a Jubilee preacher too much. I try my best, but this is my heart. You know that. You know that. Can I get everybody's attention just a minute? All young people, you listen to me. Everybody listen to me just a minute. I'm going to ask you some questions that I just jotted down for myself. First of all, have you ever wondered, and Miss Brynn, could you go to the piano? Preacher, is that okay? Get a mic, you ready to sing for me? Preacher said he wanted that invitation. Have you ever wondered why you struggle so much to live for God? Listen to me. Have you ever wondered why you struggle so much to live for God? You know what it could be? You're trying outside to do it. But inside, it's a struggle for you.
Amen. You're right. Speak it, brother.
Makes a difference.
I have people all the time, they're trying so hard to do right. And I don't mean to sound super spiritual here, but if what's inside of us is real, it probably should not be that difficult to do right. Am I right, Pastor? Now, don't misunderstand me. I fail and come short of the glory of God every day. I sin. Young people, listen, you're not looking at somebody up here looking down their nose at you like every day of his life. Listen, I'm telling you, I had a guy say something to me when I was turning in traffic today because this so happened. I was out in the middle of the intersection and the light turned red. I didn't have no choice. I had to stop. And I wanted to say a lot. I thought stuff I shouldn't have thought. I mean, I'm being honest. You know why? Because this outside's wicked. You know what stopped me from saying anything besides the Holy Ghost I was riding with? In the fourth person? Was the Spirit of God in me that said it's not going to look good if you're in the middle of a fight in the middle of the street about a mile from the church you're preaching in.
Amen.
And that guy drove on the other way and I never said a word and I just looked like an old fellow just turning left. And to be honest with you, I was into that. He's down the road going, and I'm in church. Why is it so hard? Say, preacher, I go to Christian school. I got saved parents. Preacher, I mean, why is it so hard for me to live for God? You know what a hypocrite is? It's caring more about what other people think than what Jesus thinks. Pastor, you and I have talked about this years. I pastor my church by caring about what Jesus thinks.
I see it.
No other preacher, no school, no clique pastors my church. I do it the way God leads me to do it. I do it to honor Jesus. And if it bothers somebody, there are plenty of other places and plenty of other people you can talk to, but I'm not interested in a pat on the back from anybody in order to gain approval. Number two, have you ever wondered why you stay away from church so easily? Salvation is a sovereign process, and I believe it starts from the inside and it goes out. Has the inside ever been cleaned up? And can I ask you this? If you are saved, is anybody tripping over your life? I guess the reason this gets me so bad, as a young boy, lost, I almost tripped over the hypocrites.
Yeah. Exactly.
If that's what a Christian is, I'm not interested. But then one day, Brother Clay, Jesus said, don't worry about that. I love you. I'll save you. I'll change your life. Just live for me. Just stand to your feet this morning. This service has been bathed in prayer today. I did not just walk down here today just to fill in a time slot. Walk down here, come down here to fill in a time slot or to preach to one of my greatest friends in this world. My heart's desire is for a generation to say it matters to me what I am inside. It's time to get real. Would you bow your heads with me just a moment? I wonder if there'd be some folk in this auditorium today that would say, preacher, young or old alike, preacher, I'm struggling. Preacher, my life is not what it ought to be for God. And it seems like it's so hard, preacher. I just can't seem to do the right things. And preacher, I don't want anybody to trip over me. Preacher, I don't want anybody to stumble over me. I want my friends to know that I love Jesus, that it's real inside of me. Would you pray for me, preacher? I'm not coming to you, but could we get real for just a minute and say, preacher, that's me. Would you pray for me? Would you slip your hands up real high right now all over this auditorium? That's everywhere, balcony, wherever you're at. And I see hands everywhere in this building. Everywhere in this building. You can put your hands down. Would there be somebody today, maybe a young person, maybe a young girl or a young man would say today, preacher, I want to be honest today. I want to be honest today, preacher. I care too much about what others think of me. I care too much about the outside that sometimes I struggle because I'm more interested in people liking me than I am in Jesus liking me. Would you pray for me, preacher? Just think too much sometimes what people think, and I'm bound by that. And I don't want to be bound by what people think. Would you pray for me? Slip your hands up real high. I just want to pray for you here in a minute. Thank you, young lady. Boy, that's a lot of hands. Boy, how free could you be today? Then change could come off of you today. How many adults? How many adults could slip your hand and say the same thing? Sometimes I worry too much on what people think instead of what God thinks. Well, that's a lot of hands today. I tell you what we're going to do. I'm going to ask one more question. I wonder if there's somebody here today, say, preacher, on the outside, everybody might think I'm saved. On the outside, everybody may think I'm all right. But I want to say to you, preacher, on the inside, I'm lost. I'm not safe. If I died right now, I'm afraid I'd go to hell. I don't have what I need to have. And I need prayer. Anybody like that, just slip your hand up. I'm not going to call you out. Thank you. Someone else? Someone else, preacher, on the inside, something's missing. I need it, preacher. Pray for me. 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 Let's bring you ready to sing. There must have been, preacher, I don't know how many people in this building, but there had to be 150 hands throughout this auditorium raised. I want to ask you a question. How many young people, how many parents, how many families will get out of your seat and come and say, Lord, I'm going to be real. What I am by the grace of God. I'm going to be real. I'm not going to let the outside be who I am until the inside is what I am. Amen. I'm going to be real to make a difference for Christ. Folks are coming out of the balconies. Listen, coming different places in the back. I want you to move right now. I want you to come. Don't wait on nobody else. Young people, here's the deal. You would already be stepping out, but you wonder, what is somebody going to think? You got to get past it. Miss Bryn's singing, "You Mind the Lord. You Mind the Lord." Folks are coming all over the auditorium. Preacher, I want to be real for God. I don't want anybody to trip over my life. I want God to use me. I'm not saying that you're a bad person, but you know in your heart. You know in your heart. You know in your heart. That's right, youngs. Come on. Come right out of the balcony. You know in your heart. I don't want anybody to trip over my life. I don't need anybody to trip over my life. That's it. Just keep on coming. Thank God for a church got a big old altar. Just keep on coming. I'm going to make a difference for Christ. I'm going to make an impact for God. I'm going to be real, be real, be real. I'm going to be real. I'm not living it for my pastor. I'm not living it for my mom and dad. I'm living it for Jesus. I'm going to be real. Hallelujah. Don't let somebody trip over your life and end up lost without God. Hallelujah, Jesus. He took your broken life. Hallelujah. And he made you complete. So take off your crowns of glory and cast them at the Savior's feet. Just play softly, man. I'm going to turn this mic over to Davey. Many are praying. I want to say something, and I think after, Pastor, 30-some years of doing what I do, that I can say this. Can I say something to preachers in this building just a minute, including myself? We need to really be careful. And I'm going to say this to you, and I know somebody may want to throw me out the door. Don't let social media ruin your ministry. I have young people in my church that have blocked on Facebook preachers that you know because of the arguing, the bickering, the mean spirit. And if we're not careful, they're going to trip over God's men. And you and I are going to give an account. I'm just being honest. I ain't talking about something my personal deal. I'm talking about I have young people come to me. Preacher, why do they act like that? Preacher, I've heard them preaching camp meetings for years. Why do they act like that? Let's be careful. Let's be careful. Better to be thought a fool than get on Facebook and remove all doubt. Let's be careful. I don't want anybody to trip over me. Father, thank you so much this morning for the privilege of preaching in this great church. Touch Brother McBride, fill him with the power of God. Bless him. Thank you for Brother Davey. Thank you for his precious family. Thank you for the privilege of preaching the Word of God. Jesus, I want to tell you I love you. Thank you for helping me today. Thank you for being so good. Bless that young man right now in that surgery. God, he'll be going to intensive care in a little while. God, I pray you put your arms around his mom and dad. Help them right now. I plead the blood over them. Help them, I pray, in Jesus' name. Amen. Pastor.